The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Yolaris, you stand atop the city walls with the rest of the mages, looking down the sloped plain outside of the city. Maypri, you stand outside those walls with the ranks of soldiers on the plains. And Keela, you are just outside the city walls with your fellow bards and druids, but all of you, because you're higher up on that slope, can see the dark figures with disjointed limbs, fangs, tusks, claws, and gleaming weapons greet you. The army of the Raven Queen fans out about you, shadows flitting about in the perpetual twilight of the Shadowfell. The Queen stands atop the city wall, watching. Citizens! She calls out, her voice carrying downward as heralds relay her message throughout the ranks. This is the day that loyalty wins. This is the day when the Shadowfell stands firm. This is the day we save the plains from hubris and betrayal. We shall not fall. We shall prevail. To battle and victory. Maypri, it takes some time for the Herald's relay to bring the Raven Queen's words to you. But when those words reach you, the soldiers around you begin to stamp their feet and clank their weapons in time. What are you feeling?
Battle lust? Most definitely. I'm very captivated by the environment. I mean, these people are stomping their feet, so I'm like bopping my pole arm down to the ground like to match their beat. I'm not wearing any armor due to my proficiencies, and I don't have time for that, so I have to clank the only thing that I can clank to the ground, and it's more of like a low thud 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 to the ground as I'm tapping it in time with my new companions.
Keela, you can hear the Queen's words kind of from where you are. There is a herald nearby. They do relay it, but you can hear her since you're just below the walls. The people around you chant in an antiquated form of Elvish, but it is a song you know. The blades are black or fields of woe and fright. Begin the horns, their blast herald the war. Fatigued soldiers, no rest for them last night. Hubris enacts vengeance for those crimes of yore. How do you feel?
I feel the energy of everything around me. I feel their words right through my skin, through my muscles, and right into my bone. I can feel it in my chest, in my ribs, in every part of my body. I listen to the words the first few times and maybe don't understand them, but then I eventually start to just say what I know, say what feels right, even if I get the words a little bit wrong, because I just need to be part of this moment, and I need to express this feeling from the music, even if I'm doing it wrong.
Yolaris, You stand upon the walls, the purple banners of the Raven Queen flapping in the wind around you. Your fellow mages, they stir. They're restless in their ranks. You see some moving their fingers, tracing spells, similar to a very young Yularis. And they're not using any components or muttered words for this. This is nervous energy. How do you feel?
There is a hard stone of dread in my guts, but I am trying to cling to the positivity of the man who claimed to be Bahamut last night, and I'm just sort of twisting my ring, and thinking about that. But there is also sort of a thread of excitement that this is sort of the grandest thing that I have found myself in the middle of, and there is a part that appeals to me about that.
Anton, you stand in the front ranks of the Rishemi army. There is 300 feet between you and the Fae army. The armies stare each other down as rain drizzles over all of you. You and your drummers are given the signal. It's time.
I give the universal scald hand signal of two middle fingers in the air, and they begin their drums and chants, and we begin marching towards the Thay army.
And what are you trying to do with your drumming and your chants? Is this a spell?
Yeah, we're trying to call upon the basically any beautiful spirit in the area who's gonna come and just give us a little bit of help, because although we're very confident in what we do, being scalds and all, we need a little boost here. So we're both trying to intimidate the Thay army and call backup for when we, you know, hit that clash, then these spirits come out and begin to help us.
The armies get closer as you're drumming. You're getting closer. It's 100 feet. It's 75 feet. You can start to smell them. It's 50 feet.
The drums begin to increase in frequency, and we begin to quicken our pace, and we begin to run towards them. The instant before we smash, I draw my axe, and I go for the head of the nearest Fae warrior.
All right, give me a roll.
Plus 11, Jesus, that's 25.
Oh, you describe that.
So we quicken our pace, and the whole scald force is drumming and running. We're very dexterous and very able to do many things. We chew bubblegum too at the same time. Anton's the first one to actually hit the front line, and he swings his axe down into the first Thay warrior, and it splits him, his head, down through his body, and begins battle with everybody else around him as the forces clash into each other.
Okay, how this battle is going to work. Let's talk about some mechanics here. All right, so this is going to work like a game of chess, almost. You are each going to control the unit that you're fighting in. So, Keela, you will roll for the chanters, and so you have the ability to use any of your spells, but you get an additional +4 for attack and +2 to your spell save.
Hold on, I'm going to write that down.
That's very loud writing.
Sorry. I don't know why it's so loud. Okay, keep going.
It's because it's on where your mic is. Right. So you get +4 for your attack and +2 to your spell save for any of your attacks. So what this is like everyone, and this is for everyone. So when you use one of your abilities or your attack or something, we're just gonna kind of pretend that like everyone's doing that. So this is gonna be like a concerted effort kind of thing. Everyone's working together to achieve something. So Mapri, same thing. For you, it'll be +4 for your attacks and +2 to damage. Yularis, same thing. +4 for attack, +2 to spell save. Now, something I do want to say is area of attack doubles its area because we're working with a larger group of people, and ranges double for things. That's how we're going to kind of work this. The mages, I'm going to give you kind of like your hit points, just so that you know this. So your unit has 180 hit points. The ranger types, that we don't have to worry about that because no one went there. So the support group, the chanters, that's you, Keela. You have 195 hit points. And infantry, you have 230. So it's going to be kind of based on your unit, your group.
Will we be sustaining damage like to the unit and ourselves, or just thinking
we're just
the
thinking
unit?
Of the unit at this point? Okay. There will be some moments where it's just individually, and you have to worry about it then. But right now, for those hit points, this is just the unit. So let's roll for initiative.
Okie doke. Just the fact that it's sort of like a game of chess, and the fact that I have proficiency in dragon chess
help.
How
all?
Would that help?
I don't know.
It was good.
If you like can argue that it will help in some way, how is it going to help you?
Well, tactical? Just in terms of like tactical, like having the bird's eye view and directing and spells and sort of treating it like as a game of chess in that sense.
Not to mention she can communicate with at least two different the main forces to relay information that we might not otherwise have. Because, I mean, I assume under most wartime circumstances, you have runners that go back and forth. But now we have some instant communication from Guilleri's perspective, which is bird eye view, which can aid in anything we might not see.
Thanks. Damn it. Okay. Yularis, you will have advantage on attacks.
Okay. I will take that.
Chess!
Okay, so roll initiative. So we have anyone get between 15 or 20, or anyone above 20. Anyone between 15 and 20?
I rolled a 17.
Anyone between 10 and 14?
Yep, I got 13.
Between 5 and 9?
Delirious.
I got a natural one.
All right.
I don't have any bonuses to initiative.
Wow.
All right, so yeah.
Can I say, though, that before the battle starts, I would have cast Mage Armor on myself?
Okay, yeah, you can do that. Mage Armor. And pretty much they all do?
Yeah. I would hope that would be a standard practice for our war mage folk.
Yeah. We have the Betrayer's infantry goes first. The field in front of you moves. The darkness comes rolling towards you in a thunderous wave. And it just launches itself at the Raven Queen's infantry forces. That is a 13. What is your AC?
15.
Okay. And so, how does the Raven Queen's infantry forces meet these dark, creepy, monstrous forces?
Finally, all these fantasy war books I've read come in handy. So, because we're the infantrymen on the front lines, we've got our pikemen up front. So the first wave of enemies that come to hit us, we've got our pikemen mounted with their pikes pointed directly at the enemy. I don't know if they have any horses that were charging at
us. This is infantry.
Okay, cool. So the two waves clash, and they were coming towards us at a faster rate than we were moving towards them. So the clash did in fact mean that they suffered more casualties than we did up on the first kind of meeting in battle.
So people go flying over top these pikes and people are impaled and there's a lot of screaming. That brings us to the Raven Queen support team. That's the chanters. What are they doing? Who are they targeting, first off? There's the rangers. There's the infantry, and there's their mages and their own support group.
How far away are each of them?
I mean, you're pretty far back. You're behind the infantry. And then that's kind of how they're done as well. So the closest enemy groups would be the infantry.
We are going to aim a volley of arrows and crossbow bolts at their infantry.
Okay.
10.
So what's your normal attack bonus? So you have additional plus 4, so that's 9.
Oh, wouldn't it be 14? Because I get an additional plus 4 on top of my normal bonus.
You said your initial bonus is... What? Plus 5. So plus you have 5. An initial 4, so that's plus 9. So whatever you rolled, plus 9.
I originally rolled... Oh, yeah, okay. So in that case, 14.
That is a hit. Roll for damage.
6.
What does that look like?
In one unified motion, everybody in the support area raises either their crossbows, their bows, their ranged weapons of preference, aims them high up into the air, and then the arrows and bolts go arcing through the air before raining down on the infantry from above.
With a 14, I'm going to say you didn't quite get over your allies. I mean, they're just a handful fell.
I'm going to shout, sorry!
Mapri's cursing just like violently on her speaking stone.
4 damage, Mapri.
Okay.
That brings us to the Betrayer's Rangers. So what this group is doing is they are coming around and trying to flank the infantry. They're going around the edge of the battle and trying to come in behind. So this is then, I guess, going to be a dexterity or maybe stealth? I think
probably
stealth.
Probably stealth, yeah.
Stealth, which is dexterity. Oh, that's a 12. What is your passive perception, Mapri? Okay, so you notice this maneuver. And you meet to block them.
Excellent.
That brings us to the Raven Queen's infantry.
Excellent. So, true to our nature. I mean, Mapri is going to rage, just as her bonus action. I know that doesn't really reflect necessarily on the infantry. Maybe I really pump them up and get that plus 2 with them as well. However, yeah, we will just kind of surge into the flow of battle and attack any of the enemy infantry that we encounter. So let me roll. Oh, that's marvelous. 16 plus 4 is 20.
That is a definite hit. What is going on here? What are your tactics?
Hack and slash. Good old fashioned, just you see them, you take them out. The infantry for the Raven Queen is a pretty brutal bunch. They are well-armored, well-equipped types. They are more than prepared for this kind of battle, and the way you kind of describe the enemy, they are these kind of like misshapen, unsightly. Are the enemy mm-hmm. well-armored? Like, what are we up against?
It's a hodgepodge. Some of them are, some of them aren't. It's a mismatch.
Okay. I mean, that definitely works to our advantage then, because to my understanding, like, this, the unit that I'm with, like, they are very well equipped, as I mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, to the T. So we can definitely attack more without sustaining as many injuries. So let me roll my damage. 6 plus 2 is 8. I would also like to frenzy for that extra attack. The team mm-hmm. will suffer exhaustion as a result, but I feel like that's just like a natural part of war. You know, you work really hard, you get really tired. So what did I say? 6 plus 2. So 8 was my first attack. 8 plus 2 is 10. So 8 and 10.
The battle rages around, and Lady Yelbruna and Nithra stand atop their hill and communicate messages from herald to herald to ensure that the troops of Rashomon work together in tent like clockwork. All of those things.
I'm thinking there's an interesting display here where these, almost these like circles are sort of drawn in the air as Lady Yelbruna and Nithra have some different spells up showing parts of the battlefield. And it's sort of a game of
chess.
A game of chess is a good metaphor because the Red Wizards are able to counteract spells as quickly as they're throwing them up. So it's more getting a glimpse, trying to absorb as much from a scene as possible in order to then pass on that message. And it's a game of information on one level that's then going into fuel the warriors' movements and the movements of the spellcasters below.
There's a group moving in on their flank. See here? And Nithra point at one of the circles to the far left of your air screen.
And Lady Yelbruna turns to one of the heralds and says, "Send word to the Iron Lord. One of his squads, the 7th and the 3rd Division, would be ideal to move around to that side to counteract that flanking."
Nithra stares at the display and winces as something blinks on it and disappears. And you can hear the explosion of a fireball in the distance.
Do I see that spell upon the battlefield when I hear it? Or is it only the...
Yeah, you can see a big flash. Yeah. It's much further away from where you are, but yeah, it's a big ball of fire.
Which unit was that?
The 14th.
We need to move the 18th to take their place and offer them reinforcements.
Understood. Nithra uses message to relay that to the captain of the 18th. And as Nithra relays that message, the dark clouds around you become darker as a great big winged mass comes down through them and over top of the battlefield. right, so now it is the Betrayer's support group. So what they are going to do is they are going to work together to cast Entangle on the infantry. They are going to cause difficult terrain for your infantry Mapri to get through. So what this is going to cause is this is going to cause disadvantage on attacks. When it is your turn, you can do a strength save against it to see if you can break free of this, but right now you do have disadvantage as these black vines grow up from the ground and start tangling themselves around your ankles, pulling at you, grasping. And now it is the Betrayer's mages. Mapri, please give me a dex saving throw.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. 16, 17, 18.
18. Okay, well, that... You do manage, your infantry sees this great blazing ball of flame come flying from the ranks of the Betrayer's armies at you. You take half of 8d6 damage as a fireball flies.
Oh, jeez. A little scary. Just on, like, the speaking stone, you just, like, hear Mapri screaming in, like, terror.
Okay, 23 plus 5 is 28. So half of that, so 14.
Okay.
And that brings us to Ylaris with her Raven Queen's mage forces.
Yay! So, the range of spells is doubled. How far away from me are the enemy's
they
mages?
They are like a solid 600-700 feet.
So even with a 240-foot range, I cannot target them.
No.
Okay. But their support team and their infantry are within my range.
Yeah.
Presumably.
The infantry would be, yeah.
And the people who are trying to flank and
yes,
attack from the side?
Yeah, the rangers.
And do they seem to have a sort of stealth troop as well? Have I noticed any sort of ambush squads poking
around?
Yeah,
that's the unit that.
Okay.
That we're
that is flanking. Around. All right, I'm going to target them to try and wipe out that squad, so all of the mages are going to cast moonbeams along the edges of the infantry to sort of cut off any flanking possibilities and try and wipe out those people who are trying to break the ranks.
Okay.
And then if the area is doubled, then each of the moonbeams is like 10 feet radius or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And like what, 40 feet high, 80 feet high?
Very high.
Very high. Yeah. Very high. They're yeah, above the city
80
walls.
80 feet high.
Yeah. They're quite tall.
It's very dramatic. So they have to make a...
Constitution saving throw at the beginning of their next turn.
But I think they also do
when it... When initially happens?
Yeah, when they enter the spell's area for the first time.
Okay.
Or starts their turn here. So they have to do it now as well. Constitution saving throw.
What's the spell save DC?
15.
That's an 8.
That's an 8 and a 5, so 13 radiant damage.
Okay, and that brings us to Mapri. There is this great, big, ugly monstrosity in front of you. It's slightly lopsided. Its one shoulder is taller than the other. It looks like its left arm has two elbow joints. It's odd. And it grins at you with a mouth full of gaping, pointed teeth. And it swings a mace at you. That is not a hit. That is a 6. How do you retaliate?
Ooh, retaliate, not defend?
Retaliate.
How to retaliate? I mean, angrily? I am going to charge at this misshapen creature and try to skewer it, essentially. 16?
That is a hit. Roll for damage.
Yes. 7.
Okay. What does that look like?
It looks like exactly how it sounded, faced off with this enemy, you know, like they're head to head. I mean, Maypriya, I guess, based off the description of this thing, is a little bit shorter, so she's glaring up at it while holding her weapon in front of her menacingly. And after the enemy sets himself kind of off balance with that miss, she just goes in for the stab and eviscerates him with her weapon. She goes to stab him in the gut and pulls out her glaive and tries to spill his guts out on the battlefield.
And they do. And he roars, clutching at this black mass as he falls down to the ground. And another takes his place. All right, this is the Betrayer's Infantry's turn. It's going to attack your infantry, and that's a 6. Not going to cut it. So how did you defend that onslaught, that push forward?
We've got shield people. They're kind of like a couple of ranks back, and when we can see the enemy wave surging forward, Dame Olivia calls the call, like, shield men, forward! And they all kind of march forward, crouch down behind their shields just in time for the enemy to make that attack.
And this is the support, Raven Queen. So that's you, Keela.
We're going to toss another volley of arrows at the infantry.
Okay. You can do that, but you're going to be killing. That's friendly fire. Because this is a mismatch of groups of people.
Please consider us.
Okay, I won't do that. Would their mages be in my range?
The mages for you are going to be like at about 400 feet away.
Ugh. And how about their support?
Their support are going to be at about 300 because you're higher up on the slope.
I am going to use Bardic Inspiration on the infantry. And then shoot a volley of arrows at their support. 16.
That is a hit.
9.
I'm dying to know, how do you inspire us?
We use the most thrilling battle chant you have heard in your life. It's a deep, moving sound where everyone is speaking together. You don't really understand the words, but it has like a very rising and falling. It feels like waves of words that cross across the whole battlefield. And when you hear it, you're like, oh, yes, I'm ready for this fight.
The Betrayer's Rangers scream in agony, a portion of them scream in agony as they are engulfed in this moonbeam, in this beam of radiation. So that is Constitution saving throw. 15.
Okay, that just makes it. So instead of taking 11, I guess they...
What's half of 11?
5.
Yeah, 5. And they roar, and they go to attack the infantry. They are not quite flanking them, because they are pushed off. So they are going to send their own volley of arrows. But this is a bit further back. This isn't like front lines. And also, they don't really care. Natural 20.
Ugh. Gross.
Let's roll for damage, shall we? 13 times 2. 26.
Oh, all right, bust out my calculator. Give
me a second. As these arrows go flying into the infantry from the side. Buckminster and Novak.
Is Leon with me?
Do you want Leon to be with you?
I do.
So I picture him with like a golf cart full of weapons,
mm-hmm,
following you around.
Yes.
Sir, I think for this one, you should have the rapier.
Oh, no, give me the... What's the one with the gold handle? The other rapier.
Oh, yes, this one. Excellent choice, sir.
Yes, this one will look the best. Oh, shit! Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
You stand over here.
Okay, sir.
Where's Novik?
Yeah, coming.
Get in front of me.
All right. Hey, let's compare stats. I've killed 74 wizards.
I've killed 76.
Damn it.
Yep.
Gotta keep pushing yourself, Novik.
Yep.
Did you call me Novak?
What?
Did you call me Novak
earlier?
That's
my pet name for you.
Aw, I'm your pet. Okay. Am I a good boy?
We'll see. Go forth.
Okay.
Slay, boy.
All right, here I go.
Leon?
Yes, sir?
Did you bring any snacks?
Oh, yes, sir. Jerky, sir.
Oh,
venison.
Yes.
Your favorite, sir.
I thought to bring you back. Whoa. I got a wizard's head here. This wizard head is still sentient, still looking around, so I thought maybe you might want to question the wizard head.
Sure. Hey, wizard head.
What do you want from me? Put me down. Let me die.
Where's the bad guys? How do we win?
I'll never talk. I'll never tell.
Well, I guess I'll have to roll.
Is that a persuasion roll?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. My persuasion is... Oh, plus 10. That's a 22 total.
Oh, you are very persuasive.
Talk, you vagabond.
Well, the bad guys are we, the red wizards of Fae. And the way to defeat us is to kill us. Every time you pierce our hearts or damage our brains, we die. Don't tell anyone else, promise me.
I see. Of course.
Organ damage, our one weakness. Of course, bravery on the battlefield is also a way to defeat us.
Okay. I have a... Get rid of that head, Novik.
All right, let me... Hole went... That head went immediately into that hole that was about 360 yards away.
Oh, well done. Okay, so here's the plan. You move kind of to the right and forward.
Okay.
And I'll cover the flank, which I think is the back.
All right.
And then Leon, still with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you go get me a drink. And break. Go team.
Is that what flank means? Flank just means the
I'm
back?
I'm pretty sure. Is it like your hip?
Oh.
Flank. Leon, what does flank mean? It's one of those things I'm saying it so much now. The word sounds weird. Flank. Flank.
I've had flank steak flank. And I flanked an enemy, but I don't know what that means.
It is to come from the rear,
flank.
Sir. As he opens the case of weaponry and pulls out some mixed drink accoutrements and starts making you a
flank.
Drink.
Flank.
My prince, do you mind if I see your weapon just to check for any damages since you've slayed 76 wizards?
Here's the thing. I'll tell you, this is why I have the cart. Every time I slay someone, new weapon.
Wow. Yeah. Must be nice.
Yeah. It is. So, shut up.
Well, yes.
No, hey.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just, it's high stress out here. And you're doing a great job, and I'm doing a great job. And I just feel like I'm real proud of you.
I'm proud of you. We should get matching tattoos when this is all said and done.
That sounds great. I get to pick it, though.
Yes, of course. No, you outrank me, so of course you
But do. You can choose the place that we go to.
Oh, I think we'll go to Grandpa Tats.
I love Grandpa Tats. On Fifth?
Yes, on Fifth and Dirt.
Yes,
you
I
know
do.
It? Yeah. I got a few of my pieces here. If you look on my flank, that's where
I
got...
Oh, good detail. Leon, do you want to get a tattoo with us?
Yes, sir. Okay. Sounds great, sir. Double old fashioned, sir.
Hey, you can just call me Buckminster. It's fine. Here on the battlefield, band of brothers, that kind of thing. Don't do it. Don't do it off the field. I swear.
Can I?
Yes, sir.
Can I call you Bucky or Bummy or something?
You can call me Buck.
Minster?
No, now you can't.
Okay. You can call Novik Novak as you've been, or Novi Nova.
How about Nono?
Nono, yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I'll call you Lily, and you call me Boo Boo. Done!
Oh, here comes a spell right towards you. Let me step in front of it.
Thank you! Yeah!
So that brings us to the Raven Queen's infantry. You have just lost some of your fellows around you, Mapri.
These are well-trained people, and they are reacting pretty accordingly. They've moved the fallen allies kind of out of the way of the battle, so they don't have to worry about trampling on their allies. However, they are persisting, like they understand the course of battle, like you move on, you continue, you grieve when there is time. We will, however, retaliate accordingly with a charge forward. 20? Not a natural.
That works.
Okay, we will attack, and then we will attack in a frenzy, emotionally charged frenzy after losing some allies. That's a one. do I even add anything to my one?
Yeah, you have plus two to your attack.
Plus two, okay.
Well, you have plus two from your strength because you're raging, plus you have an additional two that I gave you as a group, so it's plus four.
What is my bardic inspiration?
That is you get to add a d6 to your roll if
right.
you so choose to, and it's good for up to 10 minutes.
Okay, I will have to wait next time.
That there's no need to use it at this point, right?
Yeah, not right now. Counting on my hands. 12. That was what I just rolled. Sorry, I got an 8 plus 4.
So 12 plus 5?
Yep. Got an OP infantry here.
Wait, I'm confused. Why did you roll twice there? You only attacked once, you got a natural 20. So then you rolled a 1.
My initial attack was 16 plus 4.
Right.
That was to hit, and then I rolled my 1 plus 4, and then I, as our frenzy.
Oh, so that was an attack, that wasn't your damage. Because I asked you to roll for damage.
One. That was my damage, yep.
Okay, so why were you rolling a 12?
That came from my 8, that was my second damage move for my frenzy. Or should I should have rolled attack for that, right?
So... we've got, so you got plus 4, so that's 5 damage for your first attack. So roll for your second attack.
This is where I can add my bardic inspiration, right? Because I got a 7. Makes it 11. Plus bardic inspiration gives me a plus 4.
No, we have to roll the dice. 1d6. You have to roll a d6. I know. You never get to roll it because your bard never gives
you. I'm working on it.
You're like the Merle of.
Alright, I got a 4. So I'm adding that to my attack roll, correct?
Right.
15.
That is a hit.
A lot of finger counting here. Okay, now for my damage dice. Got so many dice now. 5 plus 4 is 9. And that last attack was emotionally charged. That was for our allies.
The betrayer's support. Wait a second! You had disadvantage on all those rolls.
Put my drink down.
Why does they're she entangled.
Disadvantage? Oh, entangled.
Yep, I even have a little side note. Disadvantage on attack, equal vines.
Yep. So if you want, you can use an action to free yourself from the entangle. But that's your action.
I think that would be in our best interest.
Okay.
So
rewind all of that.
Yep.
But now we know how bardic inspiration works and that you have to roll for your frenzy attacks. And okay, so
for this turn, we will use our entire turn action in order to free ourselves from these imposing dark vines on the battlefield. I don't need to roll to free ourselves from it.
Yeah, it's a strength save.
7.
You cannot break free. They are grasping.
You can use your inspiration on saving throws, too.
4.
No, you cannot break free from these grasping vines, and your inspiration is gone. So that brings us to the support. They see that their entanglement is doing exactly what it is that they want. So they look towards their own... they look to themselves at this point. And they heal themselves, cure wounds. They heal themselves... for 11 points of healing. And that brings us to their mages. And their mages, again, infantry, give me a dex saving throw.
Sorry, I struggle. The dot on my 6 or 9 is really small. Okay, so that's a 6 plus 4, 10. Oh no, dex. My dex is not that impressive. It's an 8.
Yeah, you do not, because you're so caught up in trying to break free from these vines, you do not get your people out of the way of this incoming flaming ball.
Does the fire burn up any of the vines? Fire versus grass type?
I'm mathing. Hold on. 26 points of fire damage is done.
Oh my.
To the infantry, and people scream as fire just rains down on top of you. Ylaris, what is your group of mages doing?
So, if there's any thinning out in the area that the moonbeams are covering, then I will just shift the moonbeams around so that they're still over top of like large groups of people, but the same group of the rangers. And then we're gonna shoot some magic missiles at some of the people threatening the infantry at the front lines. So I'm gonna magic missile.
Who are you magic missling? What unit?
They're infantry.
Okay. Roll for damage. Automatic hit.
Yep.
So you should get 3d4 at this point, right? Unless you're casting it at a second level.
No, I'm not. So each dart does 1d4 plus 4. 4 times 3 is 12. 9 plus 12 is 21 points. Pew, pew, pew! Favorite sound effect.
Ylaris. The camera comes down and focuses on you atop the city wall. What do you look like at this moment in time?
Super dramatic, hair billowing out in the wind, like intense expression on my face, hands outstretched, like magic beams coming forth, and just like, yeah, the dramatic lighting of twilight. It's it's intense. It's great.
And how does Ylaris feel about this whole thing now?
She's getting caught up in it. That fireball that came down definitely made a spark of fear, but she's having all of these other powerful casters with her and sort of gazing out and seeing the effect of what they're doing on the battlefield. She's feeling strong.
Hello, it's me, interrupting to tell you about a few different things. We have so much excitement coming up. First off, we're going to be at a Catacon next weekend. Super excited! We hope to see all of you in Dayton, Ohio. We have a live show on the Friday night. I'll be playing in You Meet in a Tavern's live show Saturday afternoon. Tracy will be a guest on One Shot Onslaught's live show Saturday night. I'll be running a playtest of an adventure Ross Rockefeller and I are working on. And Tracy will be running some of her Mass Effect-themed Fate! Oh, plus, fellow One-Shot Podcast Network peeps will be there. James D'Amato has a character creation panel alongside Amelia and Ryan of Creation Cast. And oh, quick note, General Olivia was named after Ryan's child, who was in the process of being born while we recorded our finale. And, so a lot going on, and we're looking forward to seeing all of you there.
Secondly, I want to tell you about the Elderwood Academy. They make wooden and leather dice accessories that will cause your breath to catch. You can customize to your heart's content what kind of wood, color of leather, and design. Speaking of custom designs, we have an Elderwood Academy spellbook to give away. So what is this spellbook? It is a very fancy leather-bound wooden box to house your gaming accoutrement. How do you go about winning one of these bad boys? Well, email us at thebroads@thebroadswords.com or tweet us using the hashtag BroadSquad and tell us a story in 300 words or less about how Dungeons & Dragons has made you feel included. The cutoff date is November 11th. The winner will be chosen by impartial judges. We have Stacy Dellerfano, founder of Contessa, a gaming organization dedicated to making tabletop gaming spaces more diverse by bringing marginalized-led events to conventions around the United States. And we have Terry Lidorco. You may know her as the author of The Civilized Guide to Tabletop Gaming, Rules Every Gamer Must Live By, her mini-painting videos on YouTube, or as an editor for Geek & Sundry. So write in, tweet. We want to hear those positive, heartwarming stories. Like, make us cry, damn it. Don't cry if you don't win, because you can get yourself your own spellbook at elderwoodacademy.com. Okay, like, I know you don't want to listen to me talk about this sort of thing anymore, so let's get back to the action, shall we? A fireball explodes, not just 30 feet away from you. Rubble comes flying up into the air. It splashes in Kenithar, the Hathren that you are paired with, that you work alongside with. Hathren Jelena in her owl mask with the rings around her eyes. She screams out as a rock comes flying at her and slams into her chest.
No, that's terrible. I run to her aid.
She is on the ground with this big rock. This rock is probably the size of a basketball. She is bleeding.
Help! Help, strong people!
There's no one to help.
Oh no, what do I do? So healing probably isn't going to help because there's still a giant rock on top of her. That's terrible. Oh no.
It's the size of a basketball.
Oh, I thought it was bigger than that. Okay, well, I'm going to try to move this thing then. I need to get this rock off her. I'm going to try to like roll it off her, whichever way will do the least amount of damage.
Okay, so do you want to do like a medicine check to see which way would do the least amount of damage to her?
Sure, I would love to do that. Thank you. I got a 5.
Well, you think maybe since it's closest like to her shoulder, maybe if you just roll it off her shoulder, that would work.
Okay, I will try to avoid the head and then do that.
Okay, give me a strength roll.
No.
Strength check.
15?
You roll it. It's difficult. What is that like for Kenithar?
Well, it's panic mode, so this is not something I excel at. I worry about my physical meekness sometimes, especially in situations like this. I'm already stressed about battle. I don't want any of my friends to get hurt, and here goes one of my friends getting hurt. And all of my original positions, I've got grit and muck on my hands and in my face, so I like slide off the rock a few times, try various different positions, and each one seems to like hurt her as she screams, and it is very, very panic stress mode. I'm probably ignoring way more of the battle than I should be, trying to roll this thing off her.
And it rolls off of her, and you can see that she's smashed up. It hit her hard. There are definite broken bones.
Oh no. Okay, well, now that this is off, I can heal. So I am going to try to cure her of some of this damage.
Okay.
And it is just cure wounds, but I can expel a higher spell slot, can't I?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I will get 2d8 of healing for her. So I'm going to lay my hands on her wounded chest and concentrate and move and articulate my fingers and mutter as the magic flows through me, hopefully knitting her bones back together and then whatever else I can manage with 7 hit points.
The battle rages around you, and it's just like this moment of calm where you are as you try to mend this woman's bones and knit them back together. You manage to stave off most of the pain. You manage to make it to a point where, you know, if she's not going to move and things are going to puncture her lungs. But obviously she's still seeing better days. When you're finished with your spell, she looks up at you. Her eyes, which had been wide and wild, they seem to come back to you. And she registers your face. And she nods, and she reaches out a hand.
I take it and smile, because yay, she's moving, hooray, we did it.
And she uses you to help stand back up. Bronley, you are about 15 feet away from this situation. You are currently working with Tilda, Hathrin Tilda, with her dark green frog mask. You see, hear this explosion as it goes off in fire. You feel the heat of it, and you see that spray cover the view of where you know your husband is.
I am trying to run up the newly created obstacle, right? Because all the stuff has sort of piled over.
Like a crater, really.
Yeah.
The crater has formed from this massive fireball that has come down from the sky from one of the red wizards. One of the, I guess, the artillery.
Oh, wow. Okay. I run up the crest. I run up to the crest of the crater to see if I can view what is going on with Kenithar and if he is okay.
Give me perception.
Ooh, boy. All right. 13.
The cloud of smoke and the heat, like the steam that's rising around you, is just, it's masking your view. You can't see anything. All you can hear is screaming, horses screaming, weapons clanging. You hear other spells and artillery just going off around you.
Oh man, do I have message? I don't have message. Dang it.
What's going through Bronley's mind right now?
Bronley is he wants to know that Ken's okay. He wants to believe in the deepest, but he can't see him at all. He's frozen right now. Trying to calm himself and reassess the situation, and is trying to really focus through the smoke, and he starts running around the crest of the crater to the other side to see if he can get visual confirmation that Kenithar is okay.
Is he saying anything? Is he yelling? Is
Bronley looks back at Hathrin Tilda, and he waves his arm forcefully to have her follow him to circle the crater.
Kenithar, give me a perception check.
No. Okay. Oh, that's a 16.
Okay, you see Bronley, like, you are not in the crater. Like, you weren't anywhere in there. But you're about 20 feet away, but you see the figure of your husband, of Bronley, standing there with this look of sheer horror and fear on his face.
Well, I yell and wave, Rami, hey, I'm here, right here. I'm assuming that that probably doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
Oh, does it not? I didn't know how far away he was. All right, well, I'm yelling and waving. Down here. Jelena's fine. Their fireball is terrible aim.
Keela, you have just watched a fireball come barreling down into the infantry. What is your response to that?
I'm concerned, but without losing focus. I know that in battles like this, people will get hurt. People will get killed. I can't let it distract me from the moment, as nervous as it makes me.
There is a screech, a blood-curdling screech coming from the skies, and you hear the flap and that downwind as a black skeletal dragon comes flying over the armies of the betrayer, and it opens its mouth, and a black noxious gas just goes flying over your side of the battlefield. So I need all of you, please, to do two things. One, I need you to give me a constitution saving throw.
I'm so good at those.
I rolled a one.
Okay.
I'm better than you, I guess. 7.
15.
We're hardy.
Not that hardy, really.
Oh, no.
And I need you all to do a wisdom saving throw, please.
I'm not good at that.
Oh, man.
10.
It was on a 16 and then it fell to a 3.
So that makes it a 4.
I got an 8.
You are all frightened.
Yep.
You're scared. You're freaking scared of this black monstrosity flying around in the sky, and you take, let me roll, all of these wonderful dice. You take 35 necrotic damage. Roused and bolstered by the appearance of this dragon, the betrayer's infantry surge forward, and they have advantage. They will attack your infantry, and well, I rolled an 8 and a 1, so that doesn't work even in your scared state. They're just so excited by the appearance of this dragon that they're kind of stuck. Like, half of them were stuck staring up at the sky, their mouths open, and caught off guard. So that did not quite go out as their captains would have wanted. So that brings us to Keela, the support team.
So before I take my action, I just want to say that Keela is terrified, but also really excited because she's never seen a dragon in her life and she has always wanted to see a dragon. So she has that feeling that you get that when you see something that you know is much stronger than you and you really respect it and you're scared of it, but at the same time you admire it. That's how she's feeling right now. As for her actions, first I'm going to use Bardic Inspiration on the mages since it did not go well on the infantry. And then I'm going to cast Cure Wounds on the infantry. 9 points of healing.
Oh, thank you.
And what does that look like when you cast that as a group?
As a group, we all summon together our healing power. And we actually cast it as sort of like a blanket of magic on the infantry, a blanket of soft magic that stitches together their wounds and at least stops the worst of the bleeding.
All right, I guess we got a constitution saving throw to do.
Yeah.
16.
Oh, stop being so constitutional.
They go on for a lot of walks after dinner.
I rolled a total of 4 damage, so you take 2.
Oh,
yeah.
Take
that. Ooh, feel the pain of our epic magics.
They don't care. They've got a dragon.
Yeah, my 2 damage versus their dragon is not feeling as powerful anymore.
All right, and now it is the Raven Queen's infantry.
All right. Oh God, we have so many issues happening down here. We've got the vines that are preventing us from moving. We are all frightened to shit just because of that spooky dragon. One thing at a time. We do need to break out of these vines, so I'm rolling at a disadvantage. What am I rolling, dexterity or strength?
Strength for vines. You're trying to break free.
At a disadvantage.
Is it disadvantage for the save, too?
No, it's just on attacks.
Okay, I will remember that, I promise. 19?
You break free from the grasping vines. And that brings us to the support team. And they don't like that at all. So they are going to cast Entangle again.
Guys, please.
Those vines that you did break free, they come from the ground again with a renewed vigor, grasping at your ankles. And their mages cast blindness.
Oh,
can I
God.
Please have on the infantry a constitution saving throw?
This is what we're good at. Oh, that was plus 5 is my con. 21.
Oh, right. You fight off that cloud of darkness that descends upon it, and you can still see. You're still good. You are just battling these vines. And Yularis, what are your mages up to?
We are going to summon some chromatic orbs and toss them. I want to toss them into the thickest area of the enemy that I can see. Would that be in the rangers or sort of like deeper into the infantry of the enemy?
How far can you throw these?
Range normally is 90 feet, so 180.
I'd be the okay. Rangers. Yeah.
All right, we will direct them into the rangers.
It's a natural 20.
Oh, dear. Sorry, I was just gonna celebrate here for a minute. I didn't say what kind of orbs they were. Let's say that they are fire orbs. So, yay! Sorry, I'm so excited. That is 3 d8s, so let me just collect some d8s here. Oh, heck yes. Okay, math. 7, 8, and 4. So, 7, 8, and 4 is 12, plus 7 is 19. 19 times 2 is a number that is almost 40. 38 fire damage orbs.
Damn!
And that is actually what Yularis is saying on the top of the wall after those hits.
Just damn!
That's all we hear on like the speaking stones, yeah. Is like Yularis' elation.
Yeah, totally.
And that black dragon comes for another.
Oh,
pass.
No.
His mouth opens, and that same black cloud comes descending upon the entire battlefield. Constitution saving throws.
Is he hitting his own dudes too?
I don't know.
23.
Okay. The infantry are fine.
12?
No. Mages, not fine. Support?
18.
Does not do it. Support and mages. Let me roll all these d10s here.
Maybe we should target the dragon. Is it swooping at any point through my 80-foot moonbeams?
Conveniently.
No.
Just checking.
33 points of necrotic damage to support and mages.
Oh, good.
And as you buckle under that noxious crumbs and you fumes, and you feel your life force draining from you, a brilliant light comes up from the sky, and a gleaming dragon, bright in the sky, comes roaring in response. And it launches itself at the black skeletal dragon. Maypri, this dragon is familiar.
It's my friend. Oh, we're buddies. No big deal.
Keela, you are in close combat with a dark, twisted figure. Some of the infantry have broken through the other side at this point. Your forces are not doing well. What does this skirmish look like?
We're not really well equipped for being in very close combat. So this isn't really going very well for us. We're not heavily armored. None of us have very big weapons. Most of us prefer to either hide in the shadows or use something like a dagger to aim for their weak points. So you're seeing a lot of these big hulking creatures fighting against these smaller humanoids who are just trying to find purchase anywhere in against their thick armor.
A single creature is coming at you. It has a massive maul, and it is swinging at your head. And just as it is coming down, about to connect, a club smacks it on the back of its head from behind. And before you stands a middle-aged human woman, her gray hair pulled tight in a no-nonsense bun. She grimaces at the fallen creature. This way. And she motions for you to follow her.
Oh, thank you. And I'm going to follow her immediately without question.
Yalaris, these two dragons are fighting in the sky. They are grappling with each other, and it looks like they will tumble down into the armies at any second. What are you doing?
I'm trying to like keep my eyes on multiple things at once, staring at them, looking down at what's happening on the battlefield, making sure that everybody around me is safe and there aren't any surprises coming up behind us. And I think just trying to rack my brain for anything that I can do to like help the people on the ground or help the Silver Dragon, but I'm not coming up with much. I don't have any way to clear an area below. And I don't have a way to, like, hit the black dragon without hitting the silver dragon. Yeah.
This way. And you see a middle-aged human woman with a gray hair pulled in a tight bun, motioning from the staircase.
But I have to help
The paddle! She sent me this way.
I'll, like, sort of look back and forth and then move to follow her.
Mapri, your numbers have dwindled. You are what? Half?
Half strength.
Yeah, half strength, half your numbers. You are being overwhelmed. And these dragons battle above. Their roaring just overpowers everything that's going on around you. What are you doing right now?
I'm trying to keep my allies alive. I'm harrying the enemy. We're grouping in groups of four, like small squadrons, in order to take down any enemies that instantly approach us. However, the overhead battle is creating a little bit more chaos than we anticipated, and it's making things very difficult and very hard to manage, especially all things considered. We've got the messy terrain. It's not an ideal fighting ground right now.
As you are swinging your glaive down upon a foe, you hear a voice. This way.
I'm gonna glance around.
And you see a human woman, middle-aged, with gray hair and her hair pulled back in a bun. And she has a bloody club in her hands. She motions towards you.
You must be the Herald. And without a second thought, she's gonna turn her back on these marvelous people and follow that woman.
You are all led into the city, through its empty streets, save for the odd runner, and to a small chapel hidden by a back alley. A sheaf of wheat is painted upon its door. You have done your part here, the woman says, and we have need of you elsewhere. She looks straight at you, Keela, as she opens the door of the chapel of Shantia. It is time you find what you seek.
Get behind me, Prince. Get behind me.
I don't know how much that's gonna do at this point, Novik, if I'm being honest.
Well, at least let the shadow just cover me. Duck and cover. Duck and cover. I'll form a table and you get underneath me. Crouch in the fetal position, put your arms over your head, and that will protect
okay.
you.
Okay. Sounds great. We'll do that. I'll just hide behind your flank here.
Okay.
Should we go... I can't even believe I'm gonna say this. Should we go fight that dragon? Is it a dragon?
I mean, I can't tell. The shadow's pretty nebulous.
Good word, Novik.
Thank you.
Good word.
I got a calendar. Thank you.
I'm going to roll to see if I can perceive. Roll is what we call it when we look really hard with our hands to our eyes. I'm going to roll to see if I can perceive what the shadow is. I'm rolling, but I only roll at about, like, say if it was a scale of 1 to 20, like a 10.
Oh, that's like a mid-roll?
Yeah, like a mid-roll. What do you think, Leon? How did I do?
Oh, sir, I think that's a dragon, sir.
Cool. I'm going to use my first action in combat here to hide.
Where? What are you hiding behind?
Novik. It's part of my cunning action. It's a bonus action that I'm taking to hide behind Novik.
Give me a stealth roll.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty good. Hold on. 17.
Yeah, you are well and hidden underneath.
I just want to picture him, like, his legs behind Novik's legs, and, like, his arms behind Novik's arms. He's just moving as Novik moves.
What? Fuck. Bucky? Prince?
I'm right here.
Where he went? Oh. Sounds like my flank is talking to me.
It is I, your shadow. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, wow. It's me. But I'm hiding behind you, so don't die.
Do you know anything about dragons? How to defeat one? The best way to not get eaten by one?
Organ damage, okay. I believe.
Just like a wizard. Yes. Oh, can I ask you something?
Yes.
Does wizard stand for wise bird?
Yes. It actually stands for wise bard?
Hmm.
And it's a question mark at the end. Not a lot of people know that. It's because when they came up with the word, they didn't know what ard meant, but they knew it meant something.
Yeah.
So the whole name is actually, if you want to pronounce it correctly, it's wizard. And that's how you're supposed to say the word wizard.
Wizard?
But no one does, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well,
wizard?
Let me take my javelin out here and let me aim for the brain of the dragon, which of course would be right in the head behind the eyes. Let me go ahead and give that a hurl. Yep, let me put my hand.
Let me put my hand up. This isn't Magic Tavern. You gotta roll.
Yes, it's not like inside the Tavern of Magic. Let me put my hand to my eyes and.
Do you want me to roll for you, Adol? This is OOC. Do you need me to roll for you? Do you even have dice? Okay. Oh, you roll pretty good. Do you have a character sheet?
It's all up here.
I'm gonna. You're pretty good. I'm going to say that was a 19.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Brain Javelin.
That dragon, it gets him, but he just shakes his head and the javelin goes flying off. And it roars again and flies higher up into the air to meet a second dragon.
Well, shit!
My javelin flew about 420 feet and landed in that hole over there.
Yeah, but like, not only did you not kill that dragon, you made a a second dragon appeared.
I've heard about this, my friend. It's not a dragon we're fighting, it's a hydra.
Okay. I like where your head's at, no pun intended, but a hydra is one body, and these, sorry not to correct you, are two individual dragons.
What would that have sounded like if the pun was intended?
I like where your head's at, because hydras have multiple
heads. The emphasis, yes. Okay.
Yes. Okay, cool. I'm glad that that's where you stuck on. We should run. Oh. I mean, you couldn't kill the one dragon. I definitely can't, because I'm so tired.
What? I have another theory. What if I did kill that dragon, but the other dragon is its spirit? It's starting to ascend to what's that word? Not heaven.
Hell?
Dragon.
Okay.
You know, like the Vikings, what's their, Valhalla? Dragon Valhalla.
Yeah.
So maybe one's dead and one's its ghost or spirit.
Leon, what do you think we should do?
Oh, sir, hold on. And he throws up his hand and a magical aura surrounds three of you.
Holy shit, Leon!
Where have you been this whole time?
You do magic? Leon, you can do magic?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you've been with me for 16 years.
Yes, sir.
And
you're not
dead,
sir.
Never done magic.
Okay. That was pretty kick-ass of you. You're a professional, Leon.
Yes, it's not just that I missed it. I want to be clear here. This is the first time in our 16 years together. That's 16 years for the battles and, like, scary things. This is the first time you've done magic.
No, sir.
What? Maybe you did magic before.
Lots of times, sir. I'm charged with your safety, sir.
You've done tons of magic and I missed it?
Yes, sir.
Well, I feel like a real jerk.
It's okay, sir.
No, you know what? Thank you, Leon. I truly mean that, not just for this time, but for all the other times. Make yourself a drink.
Thank you, sir.
Make it a double.
And he trembles and makes another round of drinks.
I'm proud of you, Leon, and I'm proud of you, Novik. And now we should run
Leon,
away.
Leon, you're losing a lot of the booze out the side of the glass.
Oh, yes. And it just misses even.
Okay, let's revisit the run. Somebody suggested running away. Was that you, Novik? Did you? I think you said something about
running away.
Yeah, it
was my idea. What a good idea I had. Let's run away.
Yeah, we should run away. Maybe go to Fantasy Vegas.
Wait, I have an idea. Why run when we can fly? Oh, dragons!
No.
What?
No. The dragon is what we're getting away from.
But wouldn't it make sense to...
Let me draw you a chart in the ground. Okay, this is us.
There's a stick you're holding, and then two stick figures.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then this is the dragon.
Are they called stick figures because they're drawn with a stick?
Yes. Wizard. And then us plus dragon equals... And this is a tombstone.
Okay.
And then this is us. Different drawing here. This is us. This is dragon. Us minus dragon equal happy face with money sign for eyes.
Ooh, treasure.
Sure.
Oh, sounds pretty good. All right, we'll go ahead and hop on my flank and I'll carry us away.
Sounds great. Leon, bring the cart.
Coming, sir.
Yo, Bruna. The dark clouds around you become darker as a great big winged mass comes down through them and over top of the battlefield. A dragon. A black skeletal dragon.
The sort of air screens blink out of existence as Lady Yelbruna lowers her hands, directing her eyes on this dragon, watching its form move through the air unnaturally, even though there's nothing between the wings that would actually suggest flight.
Well, we wanted to know what kind of power they had. We need a wing of the Hathren on that thing now.
Send the message.
And Nithra does. She relays several messages to different Hathrens.
And Lady Yelbruna smiles beneath her butterfly mask. We did say hold nothing back, didn't we? Tell the group of Hathren I will be joining them shortly.
And the air display lights up as Nithra takes over as Gemma.
Yelbruna casts a spell and begins to float off of the ground and moves to join the group of Hathren. As Lady Yelbruna flies up, getting within distance, she raises up her hands and begins to draw upon the magic of this land, of her land, of Rashomon. And the clouds directly above her start to split open, and there's a pillar of light that starts to come down, sort of focusing along her arms, as light is the best weapon to battle the darkness. And she then brings her hands together in a clap, and a beam shoots out, splitting across the sky directly at the Black Dragon.
Hey, Harold?
Yep.
What time is it?
Just after lunch.
Oh, okay. Hoping it was breakfast time. Should we bring our dragon?
It might be a spirit. I don't know that one, though.
Okay. Oh, fuck. Let's go kill this dragon!
Ah!
Oh, God!
And then you hear an answering roar as this great big light illuminates the entire sky to the point where it's almost blinding. And you see the light and the dark collide from the hills where the Hathren
our station. You see a slew of spells arcing through the sky towards the dark dragon. And then you see a familiar figure floating in the air. Lady Yelbruna. She moves her arms, and then a single beam of sunlight radiates from her outstretched hand and hits the dark dragon. It roars in response and breaks free of the brilliant dragon that has come to your rescue. And it shrieks and starts to plummet to the ground.
I imagine that Anton is watching this and still continuing to run towards the action and calling out to all of his comrades and brothers in arms and saying, "All right, let's help Lady Yelbruna and get on top of this dragon and tear it apart."
Kenithar and Bronley. You both are now next to each other, along with Hathrin Jelena and Hathrin Tilda, and dozens of other people within your contingent. You are acting as support for your fellow Rishemi, a group of knights in red armor, on horseback, cleaving their way through the ranks of berserkers that shield you. Kenithar, from behind, you hear the words, "This way."
I turn around quickly, because this is not a fun situation anymore, and I think it's about to get unleashed. But what is this?
You see a woman in her 50s, salt and pepper hair, pulled back in a neat, no-nonsense bun. She wears brown leather skirt and a bodice and a vest, and on her vest are two sheaves of wheat embroidered in gold. This way, Kenithar.
So I am puzzled. I don't think this is someone I would expect on the battlefield, correct?
Probably not, no. She looks like she's more at home out in the field somewhere than a battle.
And do I recognize the crest she's wearing?
Oh, yeah, you do.
Okay, so that's strange. Your timing isn't great.
She smiles at that. It's perfect. This way.
And so I see her, and I see her just trying to get Kenithar out of there as we're in a sort of beginning to be in a desperate situation.
Brahmi, I think I gotta go.
I look at Ken with this desperate look in my eyes and look back at her, and then back. I'm doing this whole double take, back and forth.
It's okay, I'm pretty sure. Look, I gotta get out of here anyways. I'm going to do something terrible or throw up or both.
She sighs. And she lifts her left hand and moves her fingers in a circular pattern. And beneath the horsed knights come plants and vines that start wrapping themselves around the horse's legs. The horses scream and some of the knights fall.
Okay, I gotta run, baby.
Brunley lunges towards Kenithar and kisses him, because he doesn't know if this is going to be the last time.
Nice little sun rays through the trees. Yeah, it's a great moment. I think a little tilt back, probably.
There you go. Yes, I do the whole, like, yeah, absolutely. Yes. The dip, absolutely.
Just a little bit, just get the hair going. It's a good moment.
And he tips Kenithar back up, puts his forehead against his and says, and just whispers, "I'll see you soon."
"You will. And I put some scrolls in your bag, so there's one red tip leaf. Emergencies only, okay?"
"Okay."
All right.
I'll see you soon. You be safe.
I love you.
I love you. And I will turn very quickly and follow the old woman.
A door opens into a bustling city. A winged being flutters past, and a large, lumbering pack animal grumbles behind. The gray-haired woman grins. Welcome to Sigil. Thank you. One whole season! Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you to Travis McElroy, Russ Moore, Adil Rafai, Christine Chester, Jeremy Alexa, and Ross Rockefeller for reprising their characters for this one. We have some talk episodes coming up, plus the listener request beach episode. And then, our season 2 premiere with special guest, Sateen Phoenix. See you next time. The most fun way to learn about new games is to listen to them get played. Every week on One Shot, James D'Amato brings you actual play recordings with a talented cast of improvisers, game designers, and other notable nerds. Each Munch features a new group trying a new system, exploring a wide variety of genres. The stories are self-contained, so you can jump in anywhere, and it's a great way to find new games. Discover the magic of RPGs with One Shot on your favorite podcast app.
It's a sunbeam. Is that's technically the highest level spell in her list, and it seemed very dramatically appropriate.
It is. All right. Can you roll for some damage? No, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck that. We don't have to roll. You heard it. You heard it lots.
And let me start to sprint. Oh, why are you making noises? I'm doing all the running.
Oh, I'm a Foley artist.
What would it sound like if we were on a horse? Krum, 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 krum. What if that horse was on tar instead of grass? Creep, creep, creep. What if that horse was a Pegasus?
Because it's flying and it's kind of skipping.
And if the horse was hit by a wizard spell and exploded? Krum, krum.
And now
a duck falling down a well. What? Can you do an impression of me?
Can you do an impression of me?
That's what I asked.
That's what I asked.
Man.
I might need dice. I might be good.
I mean, if we're rolling, then I'm ready.
I have a die.
I just need one die.
Just need one.
You roll a d4, I'll roll a d20.
It'll be great.
Okay, I have one. Alrighty. So we are back here. Okay, so we're at like the 125 mark.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
125, yeah.
Well, no, I think mine's a little like 124 or something, because mine started like late for whatever reason.
125, 30.
Burping.
Same. I've just got like my burps recorded now forever.
Okay. Yeah. There's your blooper bit.
Yep. Everyone can listen
burps
to me
from burp. Everyone.
This is why I'm going to change to wine and stop drinking beer out of a can, because
I just started drinking beer, but I poured it into my wine glass because I don't want to wash two dishes.
Classy.
I'm probably going to burp at some point because I always burp when I drink carbonated beverages.
Well, yeah.
So
that's what happens. All right, no, we got some serious moments. We have fart bolts, and so we have fart jokes, we have serious romantic moments, we have tender moments between the three of you.
I really love that, by the way, like,
Oh, yeah. Maypri's speech was really good.
All right. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Big epic music leading into this. As the camera sweeps down over the masses of armies that are just covering the horizon.
Could we hear a little sample of your chanting?
Ooga chugga, ooga chugga, ooga. You don't want licensed music?
No.
No. We will fight till the death, and we're gonna kick their ass, so we might not die, but we'll forget what time it is, and then we'll go home and have some breakfast.
Because breakfast all the time.
Because breakfast all the time. Who cares what time of day it is?
Doesn't matter. You can have breakfast whenever you want.
Yep.
We're adults.
The end.
There's so many more questions.
Should I stop?
Oh my god.
Yep.
Okay, I'm hitting stop. Okay, ignore like the huge jump in my audio where I just...
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.